Good morning. So in the several years that I've been at Simpson and studying psychology there, I've become passionate about several things within psychology. One of them is trauma and the many psychological disorders that it influences and impacts. And the other big one is coping approaches. Who knows, or how many people here know what coping is? Raise your hands. Okay. So coping is simply anything you do to deal with or handle stress or problems in your life. Any behavior you do. It could be actions you take to solve the problem. It could be things you do to change your emotional reaction to the problem. Or it could be something you do to distract yourself from the stress. Personally, I vary between coping behaviors, which is normal for people. We use different coping approaches for different situations. And I usually switch between trying to distract myself in some way and trying to solve the problem in some way. At least I think I do. And there are several things about coping that I want to point out because it's deeper, a little bit deeper than just ways that we handle stress. And the first thing is that it alludes to the switching between coping behaviors because we have no set style of coping. We have no set style of dealing with stress. The beauty of how we deal with stress is that it is changeable. It is adaptive. I can learn new coping behaviors and I can stop coping behaviors that do not help me. And secondly, these coping behaviors are learned. They are learned from early experiences with our parents, our relationships with our parents, our relationships with others around us, and our life experiences, and many, many other factors influence how we've learned the ways we deal with stress. This means that if someone doesn't cope in a healthy way, doesn't deal with stress in a healthy way, that it is most likely because they never learned how to. This is something that I have to remind myself sometimes. If people don't deal with stress the way I think they should or the way I think I do, then I can become critical. But I have to remind myself that these behaviors are learned. They are learned. And lastly, coping behaviors are tools that we use. They're psychological and behavioral instruments that we use to help us through problems in our lives. If I tell someone to make a wooden bowl, I wouldn't expect them to complete the task without learning how to use the tools and when to use the tools. Then that is what coping is. It is tools that we learn how to use and are used for different purposes. So this morning I wanted to look at some of these tools that we are given by God. All of them are given by God, but I'm going to focus on several. And these are things that God has given us to handle problems in our lives. That legible? Okay. So the first one is the ability to adapt. We have an innate ability to adapt to stressful situations. And this adaption can include a lot of things, and it has been exemplified over and over again throughout history. In Genesis chapter 6 through 9, we read about the worldwide flood that destroyed all life except that which was on the ark. God was very displeased with mankind. He said that all of the thoughts and intents of man were evil, except for Noah's family. And he then destroyed all humans and all animals and all life, except it was on the ark in the flood. And just think of how stressful and potentially traumatic that experience would have been for Noah and his family. The entire world that they knew for years and years was just gone. Just gone. It's nothing like the natural disasters that we have today, where you may lose your home, but the community and your country are still there. They're still present. They're still working. Everything they knew was gone. When they got off the ark, the entire landscape was most likely completely different. They had to go and start completely new lives. And there are most likely no remnants of the previous civilizations that were there. They're probably completely obliterated with that much force of water. And it is simply amazing to think about how much their world changed, but it's also amazing that they survived. And not only survived, but they prospered. They prospered. Genesis 9 and verse 20 says that after the flood, Noah became a farmer. That doesn't seem necessarily impressive, but it shows that he adapted. He changed his lifestyle. And he lived for many, many, many years after the flood. Another example that comes to mind is Joseph. Joseph came from a very good environment where he had a healthy relationship with his father, who had 12 sons, and Joseph was a favorite son. Very good environment, I would assume. And then his brothers were envious of him, sold him to the Egyptians to be a slave. So then Joseph came from a supportive family to being a slave. Then as a slave, he was falsely accused of trying to have an affair with his owner's wife. So then he was in prison. And then from prison, he was moved through the working of God to becoming the second in command to the Pharaoh. That's a lot of change in one life. However, through all of it, he seems like he was able to adapt and thrive. He never lost sight of God, and he continually adapted his expectations and his level of comfort to whatever situation he found himself in. He would have to adapt his level of comfort because, just if I think about it, I'm comfortable with my family, then I'm a slave, I'm a prisoner, and now I have all these luxuries and so forth as a ruler. That's just, I never thought of it that way, of that much change in my life. And there are many, many other examples of mankind's ability to adapt. People who were imprisoned in the concentration camps in World War II showcased an amazing ability to adapt, especially those who survived. And one could argue that the whole history is a story of how man has continued to adapt to problems that were presented to them. And this is a tool that we can use. We can learn how to use for advantage. If a problem presents itself to us, we have the ability to change ourselves to face it. The second one is another created ability, and it is the ability to learn. And I believe this is meant to be a tool for us to use in response to problems in our lives. And we can learn from many, many different sources. Learning can come from our past experiences, from others' experiences, from observing the world around us and other people's behaviors around us, and just from using our imagination. We learn from so many different things in our lives that it is impossible to pinpoint all of them. It is impossible. And learning has a lasting impact on our lives and who we are. so much so that behaviors and tendencies that you have now may have been learned decades ago, depending on how old you are, of course, but learned a long time ago. And Jesus constantly expected the disciples, and he expects us to use our ability to learn. He spoke in parables and used analogies because he knows that we learn a lot from observing behavior. In the parable of the rich man and Lazarus in Luke 16, verses 19 through 31, I'm not going to read, but I'm going to paraphrase it. Jesus tells us of how a rich man constantly overlooked a poor man named Lazarus, who lived at his doorstep. They both died, and the rich man was punished in the waiting place while Lazarus was rewarded and comforted. And God expects us to learn from this example. He expects us to learn that the consequence of selfishness and pride is hell. And the goal of learning is not just for us to know that. The goal of learning is for us to change our behavior according to what we know. In fact, that is what learning is. It is a change in behavior. God has given us the ability to learn from many different sources, all with the purpose of changing our behavior. This is an amazing tool that can be a great blessing to us. And the fact that we can adapt and that we can learn go hand in hand. Our ability to adapt functions off of our ability to learn. The third one is a tool that I don't often think of, and it isn't quite a tool because it's time, sorry. Time is the third one, and it isn't quite a tool in and of itself because it facilitates the usage of other tools, but we're going to call it a tool for simplicity's sake. And I usually don't think of this as something that is helpful because I usually feel like I'm fighting time. There isn't enough time to do everything I want or need to do. However, time is a very valuable tool that God has given us, and it helps with stress and problems. And the primary example that I think of is Luke 5, verses 15 through 16. Luke 5, 15 through 16. This is after Jesus spent some time healing a leper. And verse 15 says, "However, the report went around concerning him all the more, and great multitudes came together to hear and to be healed by him of their infirmities. So he himself often withdrew to the wilderness and prayed." Jesus went away from the stressful people around him because perhaps he needed to refocus himself and handle the stress. And in this way, time is a useful tool because it allows us to separate from the stress and the problem. And this separation is very important for us to be able to handle the stress and the problem, because if I don't allow myself to move past the emotional reaction, then I won't get very far in solving it. So sometimes we need to take time away from the stress or the problem to use other coping tools, to use other abilities that we have to deal with the stress, because time allows us to separate from the problem. So what did Jesus actually do? What was the behavior he did when he took the time away from the people? He prayed. Prayer is the fourth tool. And prayer is an incredibly complex complex thing, and it's a tool that God gives us to handle many things in life. Thinking about prayer like a tool is almost like thinking of a hammer. A hammer can be used to nail material, adjust material, remove nails, break material, and be a source of leverage if you have a hammer with a lever bar in the back. And I would argue that a hammer doesn't have a singular function because it can be used for so many different things. Similarly, prayer is a tool that has many intended functions in our lives. Prayer can use to express thankfulness to God, to praise God, to ask God for help, to ask God for forgiveness, and to think through problems. Critics of Christianity and religion say that prayer is just something people do to cope. It has no power in and of itself. Well, if it is just a way to deal with stress, then that makes it powerful. That makes it powerful. And I honestly believe that part of the reason that God commanded us to pray continually, to have a lifestyle of prayer, 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 17 says, pray without ceasing. He says this because we are designed to benefit from prayer. My prayer may do something to change my circumstances or my environment. It may do that. But even if it doesn't, it helps me. It helps me. In many forms of therapy, one of the goals is to help the client in processing events. This includes thinking through events and the problems to understand them better, to understand myself better, and to grow from the event. Prayer can achieve close to the same thing. If I talk something out, I understand it better, I understand myself better, and I can begin to see how I can learn and grow from it. Now, I'm not saying that prayer and therapy are the same thing. They're not. However, I do think that they use the same mental processes we're designed with. God knows how we work because that is how he made us. So shouldn't prayer function off of those designer processes? And prayer can also help us by giving us assurance that we are not alone. It reminds us of the support that we have. And God can also work through prayer in ways that we do not know and do not understand. Many, many times in the Bible, we have examples of God's servants and God himself using prayer to cope with stress and problems. Besides Jesus, we have examples of Abraham, Moses, David, Solomon, Joseph, Paul, and many, many others. It seems like prayer is the common tool that is used by everyone in the Bible, used by everyone to handle problems. And I know that I do not use it even close to what I should or could. The fifth one is each other. God has designed us in a way that we absolutely need social support to be healthy. When God saw that Adam was alone, he said it was not good, and he made Eve. We need social support. We need each other. Several of the coping approaches involve seeking support from others, whether it be emotional support or support in solving the problem. And God has given us each other for a reason, and that reason is that so we can help each other. Similar to prayer, the tool of social support has many different functions. We can use it to distract ourselves from the problem. We can use it to get emotional support, advice, encouragement, help, and to learn from each other's experiences. Moses benefited from having Aaron help him. When God confronted Moses and told him of his plan for Moses to go into Egypt and show God's miraculous signs to the Pharaoh and to help liberate the Jews from the Egyptians, Moses was scared, probably, and uncomfortable with the idea of going to Pharaoh and talking to Pharaoh. He brought up that he was not eloquent in speech, and he wanted God to go and find somebody else because he didn't think he could do it. And God gave Moses Aaron. And Aaron was a blessing because it allowed Moses to do the work that God chose for him. Additionally, Moses' father-in-law, Jethro, advised Moses to utilize the tool of social support when he was overwhelmed. Exodus 18, verses 13 through 23. And so it was the next day that Moses sat to judge the people, and the people stood before Moses morning until evening. So when Moses's father-in-law saw all that he did for the people, he said, "What is this thing that you are doing for the people? Why do you alone sit, and all the people stand before you from morning until evening?" And Moses said to his father-in-law, "Because the people come to me to inquire of God. When they have a difficulty, they come to me, and I judge between one and another, and I make known the statutes of God and his laws." So Moses' father-in-law said to him, "The thing that you do is not good. Both you and these people who are with you will surely wear yourselves out, for this thing is too much for you. You are not able to perform it by yourself. Listen now to my voice. I will give you counsel, and God will be with you. Stand before God for the people, so that you may bring the difficulties to God. And you shall teach them the statutes and the laws, and show them the way in which they must walk and the work they must do. Moreover, you shall select from all the people able men, such that fear God, men of truth, hating covetousness, and place such over them to be rulers of thousands, rulers of hundreds, rulers of fifties, and rulers of tens. Let them judge the people at all times. Then it will be that every great matter they shall bring to you, but every small matter they themselves shall judge. So it will be easier for you, for they will bear the burden with you. If you do this thing, and God so commands you, then you'll be able to endure, and all this people will also go to their place in peace." So this is a wonderful example of how we're supposed to use social support. Supposed to use each other. Job was another example. We talked about Job briefly in class, but one of the ways Job dealt with the extreme stress and loss that he experienced was having his friends around him and benefiting from their presence. We need to use each other to grow and use each other to deal with the problems that we face. And lastly, the most important tool that God has given us is Himself. It is His words, His example, and literally Himself. And this book is a collection of His words that He has given mankind throughout history. And it is from this that we learn about God, about ourselves, about how to handle life's problems, and how to grow from our depravity. In this book, we also have His example. God's time on this earth is a wonderful example of how we should deal with stress and problems and people. Christian means Christ-like. We are to be imitators of Him. In baptism, God also gives us Himself. Acts 2, verse 38. "Repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." John 14, verses 25 through 27. But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things that I said to you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you, not as the world gives, do I give to you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you, not as the world gives, do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. A helper, the Holy Spirit, who is God, is given to us. Christ says that it is peace that he leaves with us, peace that passes understanding. Therefore, because we not only have his words, his example, but also himself with us, we do not need to be troubled or afraid. That doesn't mean we won't have trouble. In fact, God promises that we will have trouble in this life. But he says our response does not need to be negative. We can trust in him, love him, and use the tools he's given us. I do not think we will understand while we are here on this earth what our potential with God as our helper is. And I have a strong feeling that I underutilize him in my life in many ways. He has given himself to us as a tool, as an instrument for our change. So let's use him. We have many things that God has given us that are tools that we can use to deal with our problems. And these are just a few. And while all of these tools are available to us, none of us can do them without having to learn how to use them. We have got to learn how to use these things. I'm not born knowing how to best use any of these things. Through constant practice and experience, we can learn how to use the tools God has given us to help ourselves and each other. The last tool that I talked about was God. God has actually given himself for us to utilize in two ways, in the Holy Spirit and in his sacrifice. God dying for our sins is the greatest tool we can ever use to face our problems. It gives us hope. It gives us faith. It gives us an example. It gives us confidence. It gives us freedom. It gives us growth. It gives us unity. It gives us eternity. And it gives us salvation. No matter what this life may bring or what it doesn't bring, we know that we can adapt and grow because of his sacrifice. His sacrifice gives the growth meaning, it gives our problems meaning, it gives our lives meaning. It is the singular thing that we need to deal with anything that this life brings and any problems that we may face. If you're here this morning and you want to take advantage of the gift God has given us in himself, in taking advantage of the sacrifice and purifying yourself in the obedience of baptism, we ask you to do so as we stand and sing.